But before we do that, we got to talk Trump transition a little bit, Rom Radio. Chris Varonis in studio. Kitty Kurth. Chris, a Republican analyst, a Democratic analyst and strategist, joining us now. Kitty Kurth, good to see you.
I was under the impression we were going to be talking about yoga and gardening, Justin. I've had about enough of the whole Trump transition election.
We're not going through Hillary's emails, though, Kitty. I mean, that's over.
Chris, please, don't even start.
The election's over.
It is. I did trick you to get you in studio, Kitty, to talk about this. All right, so let's, before we get to Trump transition, your thoughts real quick, both you guys, on the Rom Radio program, the idea of the 30-minute interview with Bill Curtis.
Well, like five, 10 minutes into it, I had to look at my watch and look at what time it was. I thought it was like 2 or 3 in the morning because it sounded like an infomercial to me. I think Rom brought his team. No one said a word. This was a Rom monologue, basically. Bill Curtis, gotta love him. Chicago loves him, but I don't think there was a bunch of softballs he pitched to Rom. And this just turned out to be 30 minutes of free media.
I agree with Chris that it was a bunch of softballs, but I think fundamentally we don't hear from, if you're not somebody who goes to all the city council meetings like Alderman Arena, and I love Alderman Arena, but, I think regular people don't actually get enough time to hear just what's going on with the city, what's being built, what's here, what's there. The news covers the bad news all the time, but the news really doesn't cover the good news. I try to pay attention. I read Cranes. I try to look at what cranes are being
The building and development of downtown.
And I have heard about the Method Project before, but there were other new projects that I hadn't even heard about. Yeah. And I don't think regular voters get to hear about it.
I had not heard about the 44 cranes. I think that's fantastic.
It's great news, right?
Especially what he said, 1,000 jobs attached to each one. I'm a fan of the mentoring program that he's been pushing. That's a big deal. It's an idea. We need ideas. At the same time, I just kind of think back, and I wonder if some of our viewers will remember him or know of him, but Ted Koppel, I just like to have a guy like that just pitching high and tight balls at all politicians, Democrats and Republicans. I think I kind of miss that.
But while I wish that Rom would do more of these kind of town hall meetings, telling what's going on, I wish that he would do them out in the neighborhoods, and I wish that he would do with them with people like Mayor Washington used to do so well and so frequently. But maybe this is the start. The mayor came out, talked about stuff that's going on. Maybe this is him dipping his toe in the water so that he could actually come out and do it in front of, citizens on the southwest side, on the northwest side. I think we have gotten so much bad news about our neighborhoods and about what's happening in the city and about, money. I just think it's okay for people once in a while to hear that there is some progress being made. I live in a household where we have an asylum seeker living with us who is from Kuwait. And since the Trump election and since all the violence that they hear about in Chicago on Kuwaiti TV, she makes him check in with her twice a day minimum on the phone just to know that he's safe because she's so worried about him
America.
Being here. Well, him being here in Chicago because of the violence and him being here in America as a kid who grew up Muslim.
Well, let's make that transition as we talk about transitions. The transition of power at the White House is starting. The president-elect Donald Trump is talking about his cabinet, but more importantly, talking about his advisors. Rance Priebus, the former chair of the RNC.
Still chair. For a while.
Republican National Committee. And also Chief Strategist? What are we calling Steve Bannon? We're calling him Chief Strategist.
I might be calling him something else. but
he was successful in running the Trump campaign. They dug out a job for him to really sort of made up a job on the campaign. Yep. He was successful in the way that Trump was elected. This is just sort of politics as usual.
Politics as usual. You know what I think is more the case here? It's Trump wanting to do it his way. And I was never a fan of Trump, didn't support him. I identify as a Republican and a conservative. But Trump's a personality cult, and he's going to go his own way. And I kind of see this as sort of the two halves of the Trump conscience. It's to the extent that he has one. You know, the angel and the devil on the shoulder. And
so it's almost a compromise. That. You're seeing you've it as a that. Compromise by bringing Reince Priebus in, who he butt heads with throughout the campaign.
He did. But he is the Congress whisperer. He's got the relationship with Paul Ryan. He could talk to Mitch McConnell. He knows Mike Pence. So that's extremely important to Trump. And it's also important to Trump that he shores up his base and reminds them that I'm with you. And that's where
Does that surprise you, Kitty?
Reince Priebus is absolutely the right choice. I mean, he did a really good job as the chair of the party for them, and he was somebody who would talk to Trump when other people wouldn't. It makes all the sense in the world to have him there. Plus, I think he will do a really good, you know.
All right, Reince Priebus out of the way. Next.
He'll do a good job. Bannon is someone who has been on international lists of the neo-Nazi and white supremacy movement for years. He is being tracked not only by the Southern Poverty Law Center, but by all the groups in Europe who track these groups, these individuals, and the relationships between them. He is part of the 4chan and the 8chan deep web, dark web community that Anders Breivik, who killed the school children in Norway on the island of Utøya, is part of. He is part of the same movement that Dylann Roof, who killed the people in Charleston in the church where he sat and prayed with them for an hour and then killed them. They're all part of the same network. They are part of the same movement. I think that it is absolutely criminal to have someone like that in the White House.
All right, well, we'll keep it up. Let's take a quick break for the news, and we'll come back and we'll continue the conversation. Kitty Kirth and Chris Voronis in studio tonight. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Stay with us. Thank you, Rob. 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, The Download. We've got a couple minutes before we catch up with Dave and Joey to start the Northwestern basketball game tonight. But before we do that, Kitty Kirth and Chris Voronis in studio tonight. We're talking a little Trump transition. Obviously, we ended the sort of stopped the conversation at Steve Bannon, but let's keep moving. So many names being bantied about for and surprising to me, Kitty, because a lot of the names that we're hearing when it comes to who's going to be Secretary of State, who's going to be Attorney General, who's going to be Chief of Staff, all these kind of – these are our insider Republicans. There's this feel in, the echo chambers of social media that this is sort of Donald Trump rolling back or kind of moving away from the idea of blowing up government.
I thought he was going to be more like Chris said, you know, where like Trump's going to do it his own way. And I was honest, I'm not just saying this, I was genuinely shocked to see all these names that we've heard and seen before and not more people from business, because I thought if Trump was going to like shake it up and try to run America,
you'd see
like
his friends
business,
from business, from New York, from other places that aren't in government.
And not even his friends from business, but just like leaders from business, maybe more creative types.
Gary Busey, something. Yeah. Just
something unusual.
But on the other side, though, not a bad call. We kind of mentioned it with Reince Priebus, this idea that he is lining up these sort of Congress whisperers, people that can do the job for him so he doesn't have to.
Yeah, and that's why the Reince Priebus pick is so good. It's all the other people that he's picking, too. He needs pros and experts, people who've been through it before, people who've served in George W. Bush's administration. He needs
that. But didn't he run against that?
He needs it?
Absolutely.
That's what he said he wasn't going to do.
That's the problem. The governor, no one wants these guys.
But you know, quite honestly, it really doesn't matter. And all bets are off with Trump. I mean, that's just it. And, you know, we heard today that there's a public health crisis in Chicago because there's a 200% spike in the number of people calling into emergency assistance services, suicide prevention. I think the biggest hope that people have is who Donald Trump really was. Right. And that is, issue for issue, a guy that Kitty Kirth would love. before you ran for president.
Well, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
So I'm saying, like, that's Donald Trump.
But what I keep hearing from the other talking heads that get paid a lot more than us is, you know, well, he's not an ideologue. He's transactional. He's not an ideologue. He's transactional. Well, okay, cool. But which ideas is he going with? Is he going with, you know, Trump version 1988 or Trump
it's
version?
It's an incomprehensible mashup that only makes sense to Trump. That's it.
But I mean, is there something?
You know where I think Rosetta Stone would make a ton of money is if they developed software for the Trumpian language to try and get people to, you know, understand it and interpret it. Washington, D.C. would sell out in Washington, D.C.
You know, I mean, there's still obviously a huge divide in this country when it comes to liberals and conservatives and any which way you want to play that. But it does seem like Donald Trump obviously what he's doing, he's building a Republican cabinet and people around him. But it does feel like watching 60 Minutes, even the rollback on his thoughts, that maybe this is a different kind of political party, a different kind of president than we've seen before.
Well, I don't know about that, but I at least saw him stepping back from some of his craziness. Like when he sat down with Obama and honestly, like being a student of body language, because it's my business, I have to know how people communicate. He was really kind of taken aback, I think, about what he had just been told and what, like, he seemed a little bit overwhelmed. He seemed like he maybe didn't really understand everything that a president does or says. I also think that he may have been a victim, like we all are, of only getting his own news. If he had only watched Fox News for the year before, he might have thought that Obamacare was all really bad. And when President Obama explained to him, well, you know, it covers people who have pre-existing conditions, and that's really important for X, Y, and Z, and it covers people who have graduated from college or, you know, older and still living at their parents' house, and this is important because we need young, healthy people in the system. I think when President Obama explained that to him in a way that wasn't what Fox News had been explaining for the last year, I think he actually took that to heart.
Well, let me ask one more question. I mean, we're seeing that the storylines, I think this is going to be, I mean, I hate to say it, but it feels like it's going to be every single thing that Trump does is going to get mass full media coverage and every cut up in every single way. But we saw tonight what one concern that a lot of people who are anti-Trump have is this sort of conflict of interest, whether or not as a businessman, he can run the country without thinking about his own interests. Yeah. The first story we see is about, well, his kids want clearance, but we heard earlier in the campaign that his kids were going to run his business. There was a lot. I mean, it's starting to get that sort of think, Chris? I mean, when you think of that, I mean, is that the kind of stuff that we're scaring? Are you scared about that?
I am. It's a serious problem. I don't like lines that are not crystal clear. We've seen this before. It was the Clinton Foundation. And God knows, you know, he ran it all the way to Election Day. It's very bothersome. To say nothing of the fact that I just don't think it'll play well.
The Clintons didn't have their foundation when Clinton was president. They started it after he got out of office.
It just doesn't play well where
a
rich guy is trying to kind of engineer the system to favor himself. It just doesn't sit well.
That's something that I think people are going to watch. Kitty, last word here.
That's, ironically, I think that's something that a lot of the conservative guys are going to really look at. It seems like that whole thing of putting the business behind a firewall and the kids having top secret clearance, that's just, I think for their own good, it would be better to they're going to be damned if they do and damned if they don't.
Yeah. All right. Kitty Kurth, Chris Voronis. Kitty is a Democrat analyst and strategist. Chris, a Republican analyst. Thanks, you guys, for coming in tonight. Good to see you filling in for Roebling and Lundy. I don't know if we'll ever be back, to be honest. I think that was a moment in time.
I think
Lundy's hiding hiding somewhere.
I think they're doing the four-corner defense right now. They're just
Lundy is hiding under a rock, and Roebling is in D.C. looking for a transition job.
And Lundy moved to Manitoba.
Yeah, he did. That's right. So thanks, you guys, for filling in tonight.